Behind the Scenes, May 15th, 2005.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
Hey, this is Craig Patchett, and this is Behind the Scenes for May 15th, 2005. And this is actually a lost edition, or not really a lost edition. It's more of a shuffled around but not forgotten edition, in that this was actually recorded on April 27th prior to the Dave Miller interview, which I ran last week. And for various reasons, the two shows got shuffled around and are running out of time order. And I apologize to the guys that are interviewed on this show. It in no way is meant to indicate that their show or the stuff that they're talking about is any less worth listening to than what Dave had to talk about. It just ended up happening that way. So you'll be hearing from three different podcasters today, as well as a podcast service provider. And I'll let you listen in and hear exactly what that means. And a quick disclaimer before we begin the interviews, which I should probably add to the beginning of all of my interviews, and that is that while Behind the Scenes will always be a work-friendly show, the podcasts that we discuss on the show may not be work-friendly, and so you should always approach with caution. And also, the interviews on this show are not intended to be an endorsement of any of those shows by myself, unless otherwise specified. So here we go. Hey, this is Craig Patchett on take two up Behind the Scenes after the iRiver did something and wiped out the absolutely incredible take one that you're never going to hear. But I'm here at the San Diego Podcaster Meetup and got a great group of people tonight that you're going to hear from a little more briefly than you would have otherwise if we'd have got take one. But I'm going to start out by talking with Rodney Rumford. Rodney does not have a podcast of his own, but he does have a great service that's going to be of interest to podcasters, and I'm going to let him explain what that service is and where you can find it.
Great. Thanks, Craig. The service is actually called MyRSSCreator.com, and MyRSSCreator.com is a web-based application that allows people to create a podcast simply by uploading their MP3 file, typing in their show notes or appropriate links to other maybe items that they talked about in their podcast. We'll dynamically create and host the page, take the bandwidth hit, and then we also submit the RSS feed to the 10 major RSS directories, and then we can ping Technorati, Moreover, Yahoo, those sorts of services. But we built the system and launched it in December, actually. And we built it initially really for creating RSS feeds, but we built the architecture to support podcasting, which is, you know, just enclosures. So what became apparent to us in January was that we really needed a separate service for podcasters, because podcasters think differently. They tend to be a little more tech savvy than someone that's trying to set up an RSS feed from scratch. And so we're actually launching a new service. It's called podblaze.com, B-L-A-Z-E, podblaze.com. And you can go there and register, but basically that's going to be a podcasting creation, hosting service, as well as a directory, as well as it'll create your feed for you automatically, and it'll also have streaming media players on it, and a whole bunch of other things that I'm not at liberty to really disclose just yet. But you can go pre-register for a beta invite, and we're giving away an iPod Shuffle, so people can go ahead and register, and we'll keep people in the loop. And I just threw up a WordPress blog on that, I think on like April 15th, so we're kind of making posts up there, letting people know as we're progressing forward to launching. We're hoping podblaze.com will be live within 30 days. That's what my programmers and me are not sleeping for. We're trying to get there by then. So that's really it. In take one that you didn't hear, we were talking about words of advice for everyone. And my word of advice for people is, doesn't matter if you've got a crappy mic, if you've got no mixing software, get Audacity, which is open source, free software to record. Any microphone will do. Just start creating content, and you can worry about making it polished and sexy and more professional as time goes on, because it's a learning process. Everyone learns, and we all get better, hopefully, in time as we go down the path. So just try it. Don't worry if you think you're going to stink, because you probably do when you first do it. And then as you do it more and more frequently, you get better and better. And I think people really have an appreciation for the fact that I stutter, or the fact that I go, or I'm human and I make errors, so it doesn't have to be totally professional, and don't think it has to be. I guess those are my words of advice to people that are thinking about doing podcasting or trying it. Just do it, man. That's it.
Now, I have to say this because I know people listening are going to think the same thing, but you've got a great voice for podcasting. Are you thinking about doing any podcast of your own?
Actually, it's really funny. I've done a number of audio interviews. John Jantz, who was voted best small business marketing blog on marketingsherpa.com, had me do an hour and a half interview on RSS and podcasting. And after the interview, well, we had like 300 people listen to this teleseminar, and he had like 20 people say, "That guy's got the greatest voice. Is he going to do podcasts?" And I've had a bunch of people ask me to do podcasts and told me I should think about doing it. Quite candidly, I just don't have the discipline. When I'm launching tools for podcasters, that's my focus. And so I may start doing one on myrsscreator.com. If you go to myrsscreator.com, I think in the next 2 weeks I might start putting together a little 10-minute podcast. And I may even do one. I've been contemplating doing one called Life of a Startup, because I think people might have an interest in how I never sleep and how my wife wants to hit me in the head because, you know, they go to bed at 9 and I work till 3 in the morning. And so I may do a podcast, but thank you for the compliment about me having a good radio voice, I guess.
No problem. So it's not just podcasters who don't sleep. Okay, I'm going to go back now over to Mike Deem, who thought he was over this already, but is now going to have to do it again. Mike, I'm serious. Sorry, buddy. Mike runs SanDiegoPodcast.com. Is that correct? Did I get the URL right this time?
That's right.
All right. SanDiegoPodcast.com is a site that has Mike and also has some other shows that he's recorded out on the road, and Mike is going to tell you a little bit about those, and I won't make him talk as long as I did last time.
Oh, man, where do I start? It's shows about San Diego, and you know, I'm just a guy that picked up a microphone. I don't have any broadcasting background, and you'll see by some of my shows. But you know, I have one on tennis. There's one on the Comedy Store. There's a reposted Christina Curry interview, and they're interesting, you know. So if I get more subscribers, I will seek out better content. Craig has 5,000 listeners, so hopefully some will sign up. So it's SanDiegoPodcast.com, and put that. There's a link in the right underneath the title to paste into your iPod or aggregator.
Mike, how many subscribers do you have at the moment?
Right now, FeedBurner says I have a total of 8, and after tonight, I should have 12.
Okay, we're on a mission here. I'd like the listeners of Behind the Scenes to help Mike double his subscription base. Okay, so we're going to try and get Mike to double his subscription base and get to 16 subscribers. 16 subscribers. So come on, people. Get out there and while we're on the subject of numbers, by the way, I have 5,000 listeners to this show and 50 votes in April for Podcast Alley. So we need to do something about that, too. Mike, you're one of the things I didn't mention is there's four iRivers on the table right now recording this, hopefully recording this, since there were only three recording the last part of the interview. I'm going to look at mine right now and make sure that it is in fact recording.
We may be back down to 2 or 3.
Yeah, we may be back down to 2 or 3 now with the batteries running out. Is the iRiver what you're using primarily to record your podcasts?
The IFP 760.
And so that is your primary recording device?
That's correct.
And what are you using for a microphone?
The microphone that's local to the 760.
Okay, and do you find that that's good enough, at least to make for a listenable podcast?
I've heard other people do it. I haven't cleaned it up. I've read a couple articles just recently to how to clean up the signal. and I'm looking to buy a microphone soon.
And what kind of feedback have you had from your 8 listeners in terms of the quality?
No one said anything about the quality, but I've only had 2 comments. So 8 listeners, 2 comments.
25% response
that's
from
good.
Your subscriber
that's
base.
Good,
that's
that
really good.
Week.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I mentioned before in the last take that when I listen to podcasts, I do it through through the computer and through iPodder, and I use Winamp as the player instead of iTunes. So I use a plug-in with Winamp called Pacemaker that allows me to increase the speed of the podcast so I can listen to more. So that's called Pacemaker.com, our Pacemaker Winamp plug-in. So look for that. I mean, I recommend it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. And one more plug for the website?
SanDiegoPodcast.com.
Okay. Sitting immediately on my right is Kit Mitzel, and I'm going to ignore Kit right now because he had his own show last time. Well, we'll come back to him. We'll come back to Kit because he's definitely a friend of Behind the Scenes, having done a really cool remix of the No Stinking Transmitter. So he can be on the show anytime he wants. But on my left, did I just say left? You're on my left? On my other left is Bazooka Joe, and Bazooka Joe has a great story that you completely missed, so I'm sorry about that, but it's a great story, and maybe it's on one of these other iRivers, and I'll insert it later, but they'll tell you another story this time about his show, and actually 3 shows, and why he's one of the hardest working podcasters around.
Well, first of all, thanks for the invite, and all you Behind the Scenes listeners. Hi, how you doing? Hi, Mom. I do 3 podcasts, 2 of which are rebroadcasts of 2 pirate radio shows I do. It's pirate969.org, Free Radio San Diego. One's a electronica show that goes out every 10 to midnight on Sundays, and then there's a freeform show that I do every Tuesday from 8 till 11. You know, it would not be incongruous to hear opera next to rap, next to jazz, next to punk rock. So you'd think I'd be happy just doing those 2 shows, but when I really got involved with podcasting, I thought, you know what, it's not enough to do 2 radio shows, it's not enough to rebroadcast those. I wanted to do a 3rd one that's a daily show, and it was inspired by Studs Terkel, who did a great nonfiction piece of work in the 70s where he interviews people about their jobs. And that really inspired me because, you know, everybody goes about their life, and, you know, it can be very mundane, but everybody's got a story to tell. You know, there's something interesting, some weird event or something funny that's happened. So I decided that that's what I was going to do. I was going to interview people about their lives. And it's been a lot of fun just to see what turns up. But I was at a bar and I was interviewing a lot of people, a lot of fun. One guy was a drunken sandwich maker, the funniest interview I've ever done. But I interviewed one guy and he says, you know, he was a file clerk at a hospital. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be really boring. So I'm trying to like get him going, telling him about his life. And then he says, well, you know, Thanksgiving, it was really so at the hospital, a lot of doctors had gone home to the families, and a woman came in, she was in labor, she gave birth to the baby, and she goes, I helped deliver the baby. And, you know, just an extraordinary thing that happens in an ordinary life.
Have you listened to the show WGBH Morning Stories by any chance?
Yes, I have. That's another great source of inspiration. I really enjoy them a lot, and you can podcast those now.
What are you doing as far as equipment-wise? How are you putting these together and setting them up, and how do you go about getting the stories?
All right. Well, equipment-wise, I'm slowly ramping up. I told myself at the beginning that, you know, I'm not going to throw in a lot of money if no one's listening. So the more listeners I would get, the more I would improve on it. So when I started off, it was just a beat-the-crap Sony recorder and a $16 Sony microphone. And now I'm up to an iRiver, going to get a better microphone next, and then another mixer. As far as interviews, you know, I could be walking to work, and there's a guy in a barbershop. All right, let's go talk to him. Or people I work with, obviously, you find interesting little tidbits. Like, I've got a friend who is on Tour Auto in France right now with his father doing a vintage car race. Well, who knew? But, you know, here he is sitting next to me all these days, and I find out this little tidbit. Or I'll just randomly email or call people who I think fascinate me, or people will randomly call me through Skype. So all sorts of ways to contact people and get stories.
Great. Now, last time, my final question to you was what advice you had to people who are listening who are thinking about getting a podcast going, and your response was to just do it. So I'm going to mix things up this time and instead say, based on the fact that you've been doing this for a couple of months now, what advice would you give to people who are in a situation that you are, where, you know, they've been doing it for a while. You know, what have you gotten out of this where you are looking at moving forward to the next step and have come across a few of the hurdles along the way?
Put markers in your recording. That's a good one, because if you have to go back, you can say, oh, that was segment three or question four, and you know how to edit along as you go along. So that definitely helps. Let's see, what would be another good one? I'm still checking out mics, so I can't really give good advice for that, but I think lapel mics are really the way to go. I like the microphone because people treat you seriously, but people get really self-conscious around a microphone. You know, it slows them down, and I've had some horrible results. Whereas if I'm using just the built-in microphone for the iRiver or the lapel mic that I'm still experimenting with, people forget it's there within a couple minutes and the conversation just flows. It's way more natural. But the drawback to that is, you know, if I got the iRiver, nobody's going to really treat me seriously with a piece of what looks like cheap plastic. So those are some pros and cons on using a microphone versus using a lapel mic or the built-in mics.
Oh, that's a good point. And sleep every now and then would also be good advice?
Yeah, it's really starting to catch up with me, going to bed at 1-3 in the morning to go to wake up at 6 or 7 for work. And yeah, so get that sleep in, and then if you can, edit for shows way ahead in the future so you can kick back and have a couple days rest.
Okay,
thanks again.
All right, and finally, we're going to go over to Kit here. And if you haven't listened to Kit's interview from, you know what? I don't remember exactly when
it was, like last month sometime. I don't
remember. It was last month. Who knows? You know, last week is out of my mind. But if you go, I'll post a link to it in the show notes. But definitely listen to it. It's a great interview, and you'll get lots of good information. And then once you listen to it, of course, you'll know everything about Kit, and therefore there's not really much point in interviewing him now. But I do want to catch up and go a little bit deeper than what we talked about last time. And as sort of along the same lines as what I just talked to Joe about, being at a level of podcasting that you're at right now, you know, what do you find in terms of where you're looking at the things that you've gone through, the things that you're fighting against, you know, whereas you've come past a certain level and you're now finding yourself dealing with different things?
Well, I find that I'm constantly making revisions to my rig and always changing my setup a little bit. When I started out, I just sit there, and I had a cheap microphone like everybody else before I upgraded, and I'd just sit there and blither for 30 minutes or so, and then pick out the 5 minutes of it that was interesting. And so editing it down took 8 times as long as doing the show. So from there, after I bought the iRiver, I was able to start putting everything from the mixer directly into the iRiver and do the whole thing just live and just play the music, do my part of the show, and then just make it all mixed together. And then once it's on the iRiver, it's done. And maybe I chop off some silence at the beginning and chop off some silence at the end. And that's about it. I'm kind of going full circle now with my show tonight. I'm going to go back to experimenting a little bit with editing it together again, because I want to be able to add the compression to my voice and get that to sound nice. And I basically, like last week, found Audacity. I can't believe it took me this long, but I've been using Goldwave and was looking at Audacity, and it has some nice features to where it multi-tracks a little bit better, and I can just put the compression on myself and then leave the other tracks alone and just put the music on the other tracks. And so it'll probably go together a little bit nicer, and I think at this point I'm a little bit more comfortable behind the microphone that I don't have to edit down so much. So I'm hoping I won't have to do quite so much editing. And so there'll just be my vocal segments, and then slap the music files in there and get it all edited back together. Eventually, I'm probably going to go back around in another circle once I have a better mixer and I can do the compression on my voice directly into the mixer and have that all go back out to the iRiver. But that's a little bit of money. That's not something I'm going to spend money on right now. So I'm going around in circles. I'm constantly making tweaks, constantly making revisions to my setup.
So it sounds as like there's two different processes going on. There's one process to try and get as good a sound quality as possible, and then there's another process to try and make the whole thing as efficient as possible.
Yeah, certainly. It's very much a balancing act. It's trying to get your show to sound absolutely as good as you possibly can get it to sound without spending 3 hours on a half-hour show.
Right, or in my case, 3 hours on a 90-second show, which I think I've done. All right, anything else that you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say, if you're doing a music show like I do, definitely check out the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org. It's a great bunch of people. The leaders there are always making revisions, making changes. They just put up a new website. They're working on getting everything put together. And it's just a helpful bunch of people all around. It's really been a great resource for me.
Okay, great. And again, Kit Show is the Daily Dribble, and it's at dailydribble.net. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
How many votes do you have on Podcast Alley?
I haven't really been pumping my listeners out to Podcast Alley very much lately. I have 2 this month. So, you know, they vote if they want to. Otherwise, you know.
And how many subscribers do you have?
Somewhere between 40 and 50 subscribers at the moment. But, you know, people will go ahead and download the show without actually being subscribed. So I've seen each show go up to like 100 downloads.
Now, I should point out that my most popular show is the interview with Kit, so it actually surprises me that your listener base is that low.
I'm still working on it. You know, I'm still a pretty new show. You know, I haven't really been going out doing real heavy advertising, just kind of pumping it here and pumping it there. And I've been focusing a lot of energy on the show itself and not so much on the advertising.
Okay, well, all those listeners, if you downloaded Kit's show, the interview with Kit, then go over to his site right now, dailydribble.net, and subscribe to his show. We're going to see if we can get Kit up to double his subscriber base as well. So we're going to get Kit to 100, and we're going to get Mike to what? 16. And how many subscribers do you have?
Well, I'm doing pretty good because Adam Curry mentioned he played my promo he played it yesterday, actually, so it's
all right, I'm not going to top an Adam Curry mention, so forget.
Wait, what I want to mention, because I want to whore myself out here, you guys want to go to www.smallworldpodcast.com, and if you want to participate, send me a email, or you can also send me a voicemail.
Okay, that's right, we definitely have to mention the URL. All right, well, I think I have basically broken every single rule that I gave in my last podcast as to how to make a good podcast. In this one, so you know, don't use me as an example. Just listen to the advice that I give you and follow it. And that's it. That's it for this week's show. Thanks very much. This is Craig Patchett from Behind the Scenes. Go to the website, btscast.com. Check out the show notes. Check out the other stuff that you'll find there. Subscribe to the RSS feed. And don't forget to vote at Podcast Alley for Behind the Scenes and, of course, for the shows that these guys are putting together and promoting tonight. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. We'll see you next time. God bless.